Thank you, Grant. What a great, great song to prepare our hearts to hear God's word. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you want to grab your Bibles, I want to give you some time to do that. And as some of you may know, my family and I were on vacation for the last couple of weeks, and it was so great to get away. Always great to come home. We got to spend time with family in New Jersey at the beach, which was wonderful. And then we got to spend time in Philadelphia, which was just fantastic. And if you know me, you know that Philadelphia is my town. You know that it is my happy place. It is my fortress of solitude. And I just loved being there. And I think what made it so special this time was my kids are now, Sayla and Levi, they're old enough to understand where I'm taking them and what I'm showing them. And it was so cool to walk the same streets, go to the same places that I went to when I was younger and by myself. And now I get to do it with my family and share it with my kids. It was really the Jeff Ryan reality tour, so to speak. I don't know how much they liked it, but I sure loved it. And, you know, I try to point out lots of different things. And one of the things I always try to point out to my kids, whether we're in Philadelphia or here in Nebraska, is all the mistakes I've made, because I have made so many mistakes in my life, and I still continue to make mistakes. And probably the biggest mistake that I made, particularly when I was younger, was I didn't put God first. I put me first. I put my wants and my needs and my desire and my will first before God. And I don't want my kids, I don't want anybody to make the same mistakes that I made. Why? By creating a little g God. And boy, I had a lot of little g gods then, and I probably still have some little g gods. And that's really what we're seeing here in 2 Chronicles, is God is really addressing his people that they need to get right with him, that they need to put him first and not have any little g gods. And so we're going to continue our Summer Essentials series, the seven things that we need to do to grow closer to God and live out our faith. We've talked about worship. We've talked about being in God's word. And now today we're going to talk about prayer. So let's take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to read verses 11 through 18. It said, "When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, 'I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully, as David your father did, and do as I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne as a covenant, as covenanted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have successor to rule over Israel.'" You know, let me oversimplify 2 Chronicles. And for 2 Chronicles and 1 Chronicles used to be one book, but let me just really oversimplify this. The book of Chronicles is about uniting the people of God to worship God only, and to expel out of their lives any false gods or any little g's. And what happened here then is sometimes what happens to us now is the people of God forgot their past, right? They forgot that they were chosen by God to represent God to the world. You and I are chosen by God to represent God to the world, to the community, to our state. And the people had forgotten that. Now, of course, there were short-lived revivals that would come and sadly go away, but the people just never connected back to their love of God. They would drift themselves into chaos, in disaster, in exile. And if we think about it, that's a lot like our story, isn't it? Sometimes we just kind of drift away from God. The pandemic has made it really easy to kind of drift away from God. So God is addressing his people here, and the author of Chronicles is Ezra. Ezra is writing it, and what he's writing is about what has been going on with the people of God. And Ezra tells us in chapter 6 that Solomon has finished the temple and the palace, that he's dedicating it to the Lord. And so he calls the elders, he calls the leaders, and he says, you know what? We need to sing to God. We need to praise God. And so all of the leaders, they were praising God. They were singing God. And then a cloud of God's presence filled the temple because the people were putting God first. In fact, when Solomon was praying, he got on his knees and he prayed and he praised God because Solomon and the leaders, they had such a reverence for God. Sometimes we forget to have a reverence for God. Sometimes we've reduced God to t-shirts that say OMG on them and people wear them. We've somewhat lost our reverence for God. And so there's a reverence for God that is here right now. And if you go back and you look at chapter 6, in Solomon's wonderful prayer, he keeps asking God to hear from heaven. Will you hear from heaven? Will you hear from heaven? 8 times in chapter 6, we hear Solomon saying, will you hear from heaven? Well, after this prayer, God assured him that he heard because fire came down and consumed all of the burnt offerings that were offered there to God. And the people were so consumed by the reverence of God that they fell face down on the ground and began to worship God and say these words, He, being God, He is good, His love endures forever. The people had such an awe and such a reverence for God in the midst of prayer because they knew God was good. And so we come to our chapter, chapter 7, what we just read, and God says, I have heard your prayer. This wonderful prayer where the people were on their knees, this wonderful prayer where people were face down because of the reverence they had for God. You know, I said here in the scripture tells us that Solomon had been finishing building the temple of God in his own palace, and that was about a 20-year process. And so when God answers, it's about 7 years in. But what we fail to think is that God's answer was instantaneous. You know, we live in an instant gratification world. So we think, well, I'm done praying, God. Where's the answer? You know, I prayed, I haven't heard. It's been 5 minutes, or it's been 10 minutes, or it's been a day, or it's been a week. Why hasn't God answered my prayer? Because we are not the ones in charge. God is the one in control. And so what we have to understand is God is not on our time. We are on God's time, even when it comes to prayer. See, the people, unfortunately, had become faithless and were not living for God. So they were not getting an immediate gratification answer. In fact, it would be 13 years before the people of God would hear this answer from God. The temple was done, and the temple was a place for worship and sacrifice. And sometimes we don't connect those two, but worship and sacrifice are two sides of the same coin. That when we gather together to worship God, but we need to sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, sacrifice would have been animals. In the New Testament and in our world, there has already been the sacrifice, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the once and for all sacrifice that we need to come into the presence of God, to worship God, and to pray to God. See, when the people of God gather for worship, it is to reveal their hearts. It is to reveal how they feel about God, their reverence for God, their awe for God. Their joy was so great that it was uncontainable. And the only thing that I can in any way connected to is our reaction in sports. When you are in the place, when your team wins or makes a big shot or gets a touchdown, everybody's in accord. When we went to Philadelphia, we got to go to see my beloved Phillies, and they actually won a game. And they won the game in the bottom of the 10th with a walk-off double, and everybody that was in the place was joyful together. That's what church is supposed to be. That's what worship is supposed to be. Do you know the most powerful, provocative word in all of the English language? If. If we would have gone there. If we would have done that. If I didn't say this. If I did say this. If they would have given. If they would have shared. If. It is a powerful word, and God invokes that here in probably the most significant of the verses that we've read this morning, which is verse 15. And God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. 3 things. That if they're willing to do those 3 things, here's what God will do. He will hear their prayers, He will forgive their sins, and He will heal their land. That when we come before God humbly, and we seek his face in prayer and we turn from our wicked ways, God will hear us, God will forgive us, and God will heal us. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we get to that place? We've got to come before God humbly in prayer. See, what this text to me is really about is it's about making sure your relationship with God is right. And that's how we get our relationship right. We come to God in prayer. This invitation to prayer comes with a promise. An invitation with a promise. And that promise is that God will hear our prayers, that God will listen to us. And when we look at the language that God responds to Solomon in chapter 7, it's literally the same language that Solomon prayed in chapter 6. All of that is to say God is listening when we pray. And when we come to God in prayer, let's be honest for a minute. We don't come with repenting hearts. We don't come with, God, I ask for forgiveness for here's how I have sinned, here's how I failed you. We come to God with a to-do list. God, can you do this for me? And can you do that for me? And can you give me this? And can you give me that? We come to God like he's a genie in a bottle or a personal concierge to give us whatever we want, whenever we want it. But God says, all of the prayers offered in this place, that being the temple, he goes, I'm going to hear them. Now, that was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we can offer a prayer to God anywhere we are because of Jesus. And God will hear our prayers. See, in the Old Testament, like I said, they had animal sacrifices. But now in the New Testament and in our time, there is the once and for all sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ, which allows us to come and pray before God. So Ezra, the chronicler, invites people to come and to pray so that they can experience God hearing their prayers, forgiving their sins, and healing their land. Because Ezra knows that the only hope that people have is God. And so many of us find ourselves in troubling or challenging times and we think, I gotta find some hope. There is always hope in God. And that is universal from the Old to the New Testament. Listen to what Paul says in Romans. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God will save you. If you've been wandering from God, maybe the pandemic has kind of kept you wandering and kept you away now still from gathering together with all of us to worship, or maybe you're not comfortable with, the answer to all of this is prayer. Go to God in prayer. That is an essential for our faith. But there were circumstances that were preventing Solomon from doing that, because after he prayed the prayer of dedication, he was never more popular. His fame, his notoriety among people grew. He was puffed up. He was filled with pride and he forgot his past. He forgot that love he had for God. So many of us have forgotten our love of God, whether it's through circumstances, pandemic, or something else. We've forgotten about our love for God. See, this is Solomon's spiritual decline. The beginning of his spiritual decline is he forgot one of the essentials of growing closer to God and living out your faith, prayer. See, if you've stopped praying, then you've stopped growing. But if you will pray, you will grow. And so what God says is humble yourself. So what does it mean to humble yourself? It means to say, I'm going to empty myself of myself. I'm no longer to be dependent upon me to figure things out and to find a way forward. I'm going to be dependent on God. See, coming humbly before God, it is not a condition for God to hear your prayers. It is a characteristic of someone whose prayers will be heard because they're coming before God. Do you want to know the difference between a relationship and just having a religious life? Ask yourself this question. Do you come before God and humble yourself before the creators of the heaven and the earth? Or are you asking God to humble himself before you and bend to your will and to your way? Prayer is essential if we're going to grow closer to God and live out our faith. And God makes it clear that if we turn from him and chase little g gods like I did when I was younger particularly, then we're not going to experience the blessing of God. God takes unfaithfulness very, very seriously, and so should we. And that's why God says to his people then, and he says to us now, that you can come back to me through prayer. If you want to know God, if you want to experience his blessing, then come back to him in prayer. You know, this is the second time that God kind of comes here to Solomon. The first was in chapter 1 at Gibeon when Solomon was going up to make an offering, and God says, hey, ask for whatever you want and I'll give it to you. Can you imagine the God of the universe asking you that whatever you want, he'll give it to you? And Solomon says, wisdom. I want wisdom to shepherd and guard, govern these people. And that is so wise, because from wisdom comes revival. And if you're a Christian, then you know you want revival in the church. You want revival in our community. You want revival in our country. But you know where revival begins? It begins right here in our hearts. If we want revival in the church, and if we want revival in our community, our country, and the world, it has to begin in our hearts. That means we've got to do three things. We've got to forsake and repent of our sins. We've got to turn from our self-centered living. And we have to yield to God's will and God's way. See, if we want revival to come to our church, to our community, to our world, it's got to begin in our heart. And God says to Solomon, hey, I'm ready to hear your prayers. And there's a difference between hearing our prayers and hearing our wish list, right? We can say, God, I wish that I had this. Or what are our prayers? Are they filled with repentance and reverence for God? Verses 17 and 18 are so important here, because what God is saying is, you want me to hear your prayers, you want me to forgive your sins, you want me to restore you, then be obedient. And if we truly want to understand obedience, it's everyday obedience. It's everyday praying. You can pray to God in the shower. You can pray to God as you drive to work. You can pray to God anywhere and everywhere. And if you're married, I'd encourage you to pray every night with your spouse. If you have kids, I would encourage you to pray with your kids every night. Even if they can't pray, pray over them every single time. Because if we're not praying and we still say, well, I'm still going to do this or that kind of with the church, what it really feels like to God is a guilt offering. I feel guilty because I'm not praying, so God, I'll do this. God doesn't need, nor does God want, our guilt offerings. So when God says that humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your sins, those aren't a bunch of actions. They're one action. And it begins with prayer. It begins by coming closer to God, by living out our faith. See, in the ancient Near East and in the Old Testament, we understand covenants. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings curse. What God was kind of putting before Solomon and the people is, which of these do you want? Of course, the simple answer is, I want blessing. If you want God's blessing, then begin to have a relationship with him through prayer. Let me explain it like this. Repentant prayer equals restoration. Prayer without repentance equals rejection. That God is not going to hear our prayers if we don't come with a repentant heart and acknowledge our own sinfulness and failings. God will forgive us. Prayer is essential. And if we don't pray with a repentant heart, then we're going to live with the power of that word, if I would have prayed, if I would have repented, if I would have worshiped, if I would have been in God's word more. Because that power of if will never be more prevalent than when we stand before God. And so what God was saying to Solomon and the people is, pray. It's essential in our relationship with God. You know, as much as this seems to be about the people of God, and it is, it's also about Solomon. It's about his relationship with God, which is not going well. And God telling Solomon how to get right with him again. And that begins by humbly coming before him in prayer and turning from our sin. And then he'll be able to grow closer to God and live out his faith. I had such a great vacation. Our family had such a great vacation. I love being with family in New Jersey. I love being in Philly, watching the Phillies win and just having an amazing time. And I love the opportunity to continue to share with my kids all of the mistakes that I made in the past. They're very aware of the ones I make now. But I want them to learn from my mistakes so they don't make them. And the biggest one I want them to learn is, always put God first. Don't make the mistake of not putting God first. I want to give you three things that you can talk about over lunch as Mr. Grant will play us out here. Is your prayer life just about your wants and needs? Is that all your prayer life amounts to? Is God, here's my laundry list of things I need you to do for me? Do you humble yourself before God in prayer, that you are before the God of the universe, that you don't need to have any kind of burnt offering because Jesus Christ has made a way? John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me. No one comes to the Father except through me, that you and I have access to God directly. And three, are you obedient have daily prayer. Boy, that makes a difference, doesn't it? Obedient and daily prayer makes a difference. I hope you've been encouraged by this. If we can anyway pray for you, please send us an email at prayers@threetimbers.org. We hope to see you soon. We'd love to see you with us in worship on Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock at the Stumble Inn here in downtown Bennington, or stop by the brand new ministry center right here in downtown Bennington. Until we see you again, may God bless you and may God keep you. Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you're encouraged by God's word. I hope you feel blessed and strengthened for the day and the week ahead. If you want to find out more about Three Timbers Church, please go to threetimbers.org. You can follow us on social media @threetimbers. And if in any way we can be a blessing to you, please reach out to us at prayers@threetimbers.org. We hope to see you soon in person at worship or one of our many outreach opportunities. Until then, be blessed.